Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Good morning. Welcome to episode 119 of the Go Get That podcast. Just me and Dan chopping up some RBC Heritage preview with you. And yes, you heard me correctly. I said good morning. I think we're 119 episodes in, and this might be the first episode we are actually recording in the AM hours. It's early morning Wednesday, April 17th. I got a cup of coffee here. Going to chat some Jay Spieth. Usually say that I'm excited for a week. Obviously, with what we've seen out of Mr. Spieth lately, excited's probably not the word to be used. But at the least, it is an opportunity to, you know, get off the ground floor, which we're currently at. It's played well here. Course history is very good, as we've kind of seen the last couple of years. He was out there grinding. Tuesday afternoon was on the range working. So that's good to see. Again, it's an opportunity, and, you know, we need as many of those as possible to really, you know, get going again. We're already, you know, past the Masters, got three more majors to go, and obviously we're trying to peak for them. So we have a few events before Valhalla Grand Slam, so we got to kind of use these, two or three events that he's going to have to, you really know, start playing good golf again. We'd like to have a chance at Valhalla next month, so just an opportunity this week to really get started, foot in the right direction.
Well said. Good morning to everybody. I do not have my coffee. I actually don't drink coffee. I don't know if I guess that's not a boomer thing, because boomers would drink coffee.
But, boomers love their coffee.
Yeah, it's a something. Anyway, it is a little hard to get up for this week, after the Masters, obviously, and then just considering where one Spieth, J is with the game. I know I said I believe on the Masters pod, and I do largely, but I think I am concerned about this wrist, because I did some more thinking about it and went back to his Masters press conference. He said he heard it before the players, and then he heard it before Valero. So that's a span of 3 weeks, two flare-ups. Like, that's not good. That's consistent. I'm not sure at the end when it first came up before Byron Nelson. I think it was a few months again before it flared up. So I guess even though the flare-ups are, you know, one-day things and don't eliminate him from tournaments, so to speak, it just feels like I don't think it would happen during a tournament because it's getting enough usage and enough treatment to stay maintained, but it just feels like there's something always kind of lurking, which is disappointing. The game is disappointing right now. The short game's been horrible. No cut this week, correct?
That's what I've been told. Congrats, you know, Mr. Spieth. Should be four rounds.
Four rounds. Yay. I feel like there's been cuts at the other ones, though. There was one at API.
So I'm pretty sure what they did, and to be fair, the cuts were very lenient. I think the guys who have events, so I believe Arnold's event, Tiger's event, and Jack's event all have the cuts, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but the other ones don't.
Okay. So no cut this week. It's only 60-ish guys. 70?
It is, yeah. I believe it's 69 guys. Yep. Kisner, the last man in the field.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, so at least the goal is better than 68th. The goal is a lot higher than that. I don't think there's a way to... I mean, who knows? Maybe he's fixed everything in the past week. The weather's going to be fantastic this week, by the way, which I think is helpful. The winds will not be close to the Masters. I think that takes a lot of sort of the... if you're not hitting it very well, the wind kind of emphasizes that. And so without that this week, I think there's a chance to sort of, you know, hit some decent shots that you might also be practicing on the range, so to speak. So good reps this week, which I think is important as we kind of get into the thick of the golf season, because it's going to go quick from here. You're going to snap your fingers and it's going to be open week, and you're going to be up at 3 a.m. watching featured group coverage and realize that it's the last major of the year. And so got to enjoy the ride, but it'll be more enjoyable if we start seeing some good golf. I had a couple things in mind for what would make this week good, because I think we can't just like jump straight to the winner circle, even though hasn't lost anybody here in regulation in 2 years. But do you have a few things that would be, obviously there's the like glaring things that would be nice to see, but anything maybe specific? God. Or
well, for starters, he's lost strokes with the short game in four straight. He's lost strokes on the approach in three of four. Off the tee, he's gained in the last four, which is, I mean, he's actually gained off the tee in what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of 10. So that's, I will give him a round of applause for that. That's pretty impressive from JSP. So off the tee, we're doing good. It's the problem is everywhere else. Although the putter's been pretty fine. I mean, last week at Augusta, there was issues with everything. But yeah, it's really the middle two, and the approach and the around the green for Jay Spieth. Can't believe we're talking about that. But yeah, as you kind of said, there's got to be something up with the wrist. I hate to go back to the wrist because, you know, it's so negative. But I mean, we talked about it in the Masters recap. He's never lost strokes around the green in four straight until now. And all of a sudden the wrist, you know, is an issue, or we know about the wrist being a problem. Just seems like there's too much smoke for there not to be fire there. I hope, you know, that's not the case. And he comes out this week, chips really well, gets that back on track. Some better approach play. I mean, you kind of mentioned it in the Masters recap. He ironed it pretty well in round two at Augusta. So I don't know what he takes from that. I don't really know where his headspace was in that second round, knowing that, you know, unless he played a perfect round, it was going to be a weekend off. But he's done that a couple times. He didn't play great in the round two, but he played better. And he's done that a few times this year where I think, what, Sunday at API, he played pretty well in, I guess, a meaningless round.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have it didn't translate, obviously, the week after at Valspar. But there's been rounds where he's played pretty good that, I guess, are unimportant. So who knows? Maybe that, you know, translates this week. He's playing with, you know, the robot. We're playing with the best golfer in the world Thursday and Friday, which could be very good. Or I mean, he plays with them all the time at home, so he knows. Yeah,
comfortable pairing.
Yeah, he knows what to expect. But you know, with what we saw, I guess, out of the mental side of Jay Spieth, looking pretty, you know, agonized. You know, at Augusta last week, it could be pretty agonizing too. Just watch Scotty on repeat, you know, iron wedge shot to 10, 15 feet every single hole. So what do I want this week? We're on the ground floor. I mean, you know, there is no cut, so that's not really a goal. I guess if you wanted a finished goal, a top 20, top 25 with some good ball striking would be really nice. Some signs out of the short game as well.
Yeah, I think that's what I was looking at more. Was can we have a positive strokes gained short game week? That would be nice, because I think if that continues, even if it's just slightly negative, whatever, but that's still so far away from his baseline that it feels like, all right, this is actually an issue. And he's not going to win with a bad short game. He's not. You've talked about this before, where in pertaining to the putter, he's never going to hit it like Scotty. Well, nobody's ever going to hit it like Scotty.
Yeah.
But you're usually compared it to Rory. He's never going to hit it like Rory off the tee or on, you know, approach. The ball striking numbers there, Rory typically will outgain Spieth. The way Spieth competes and contends is the short game and the putter. And in, you know, previous years, the putter had been an issue. And now the short game is a massive issue. And look, it's a little crazy to talk about winning, right? Because he seems so far from it. But that would be the area of, you know, this, you know, if it's five tournaments in a row with poor short game, there's alarm bells are fully going off and the panic button is fully hit. Like, this is, I don't know, just a serious concern. Maybe panic button isn't quite the right word, because I'm not sure what there's to panic about other than, like, it's more just a continuation of what we've already seen. And it'd be nice to just see something have a good week. One of those categories have a good week. I don't know. I don't have his page up in front of me, but I feel like his off the tee numbers have been good, but not great. His putter's been good, but not great. And part of that's just the inconsistency of him within his rounds, right? There's too much fluctuation in he'll have a week or a round where, oh my God, he's missed two putts inside of 5 feet. And wow, he, you know, there's that snap hook out of bounds, right? So I guess Valero was kind of a pop week off the tee, and then approach was over a stroke. But a lot of the putter's just been kind of, it's been good, but it's been middling. And then
hasn't been great. Short game
has been atrocious. So, you know, we'll see. There's very few reasons to believe that great golf is coming this week, other than it can't be as bad as it looked on Thursday at the Masters. And I had one more kind of thought about the short game, because Bob mentioned this briefly in the Masters recap about the creativity. I feel like Spieth's a guy who plays a lot of different shots around the green. Obviously, I think he's... some of his highlights come from, at least some of my favorite shots to watch him play, or that kind of back foot one that low, skip, and then zzz, right next mm-hmm. to the hole, because I think that's just cool to watch, because I can't do that. but it's been a lot of that. There hasn't been a lot of wide stance, kind of shallowing the club out, dropping it underneath the ball. You think to back to Thursday and number one, and the bump and run is probably the play, because I think the lie was maybe a little bit on the downslope as well. But I think there's times in years past where Spieth maybe widens the stance a little bit and gets a little bit shallow coming through the ball and flies it kind of over all that stuff. And given how sort of wet it was on Thursday morning, right, with the rain, kind of gets a little skip and then a little skid, and it's 6 feet, you know, past the hole on the other side. And it's, you know, 6 feet for par is obviously much better than 12 feet for bogey. So there's just some things that I'm curious about the short game selection. It makes me think that there's something going on there. Who knows how long he stayed at Augusta? Probably not very. Right, he probably packed his bags and just went straight to Hilton Head. I can't imagine him really wanting to stay around there for too long. So I'd imagine he's putting hopefully some good work. You know, hit the short game area Saturday, Sunday, and said, let's try and figure this out a little bit. But I think that's really what I want to see, is some better chip shots. I know it'd mean that there's probably some poor iron shots in there.
Well, let's just hope he's hitting it up near the green in two on a par five, and that's when we can really see
right. the short game. Par five scoring would be nice to see this week, but it's just been a tough stretch. Three or four MCs, he'll figure it out at some point. But just the way that it's going down right now is it's disappointing. I guess it's kind of like, dude, if you hit some better short game shots, you're probably not missing the cut in some of these events. I think, you know, Valspar and the players were bad just in general. Valspar, particularly the approach play, was bad. But Valero, he gained over a shot on approach per round on average. And, you know, the hole in one gives you two, right there. So he gained two for the rest of the week. But there were a lot of good shots in there. Some darts, finally, it felt like. And to then lose probably three or four shots around the greens for the week. You think about hitting the sprinkler head. You think about some of the short game shots on Thursday in particular, which were just horrendous. It's not maximizing the weeks that he's playing well or driving it well or ironing it well. That's kind of just been the story of the past 7 years, so to speak. So it's, I guess it shouldn't really be that surprising, but because it's the short game, it is. So, what are your thoughts on this course? I kind of like it, but I think it's starting to get a little bit over loved, I guess, if that makes any sense.
It's okay. As Olga and I go get that picks shortly, it's kind of tough to differentiate yourself and be a good course fit here. I guess you could have good history, maybe like a Cantlay, but I don't, like, in the research that I did, and you're obviously hearing this from the person that's in dead last by a lot, so I'm trying to, you know, dig my way out of that hole for our go get that plays, but it just doesn't fit like one thing. I don't think, like, you hear a lot about, like, a Rory, it's not really a Rory fit. I'd agree with that, but I don't really think it fits anyone, just based on the little modeling that I was doing. It's okay. Just, I guess, comparing it to the other signature event courses would be a good way to go about it, since it is a signature event. It's fine. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's different. I'll give it that, because you got, you know, the waste areas off the tee. It's different. I love that. That's what makes golf, you know, such an awesome sport. Courses are so different. But it's okay. You look at the other signature events like API, Memorial,
Riv,
Wells Fargo, and then you kind of look at Hilton Head and it's like, is it better than those courses? I don't know. I guess I give it a little bit of brownie points because Jay Spieth has played, you know, phenomenal golf here. Five top 12s and seven appearances here. I mean, really good golf here.
Yeah.
So that's nice. It's okay. It's funny. We're talking about the short game. I don't really think this course gives you a good chance to, I guess, set yourself apart with the short game. Like, obviously, Augusta National does, as we saw Scotty. Scotty led the field in around the green and, you know, won the golf tournament. I don't really know if this week does as much. But he's played well here. I like that. Fine course. Don't have a problem with it. It's just, you know, compared to the other elevated events, it might not be my favorite.
Yeah. I like it. And I think I've liked it in the past. I mean, obviously there's the few bonus points for getting Spieth J in the contention. but then there's also it's a plotters golf course, right? You know, it's a lot, it's some hybrids, some wood threes off the tee. Got to take advantage of the par fives, which you can get into some trouble with if your drive leaks to one side or the other.
I got my least favorite par five on tour.
Yeah, you think about, I believe it's 15, where you can hit it in the fairway, but then you have to lift it up over the trees to get it to the green, which I think is kind of cool. It's maybe a little bit gimmicky, but at the same time, like, well, hit your tee shot on the right half of the fairway, right? Essentially, the fairway is a little bit smaller than it looks. So,
the hole just stinks.
Yeah, it is kind of a tough. But like, if they just grew a rough in on that left side, like, I kind of think it just made it a tiny fairway. I don't know. I think it's a little. It just feels dumb that you hit the fairway and then you can't go for it because you just hit it into a wall of trees, or you catch that one darn tree that's in the middle of like a little pond in the back by the green, and it just knocks it down and goes straight into the water.
As we've seen with Jay Spieth.
Yeah, at numerous times. But, and I think it also has gotten love because it usually plays a bit difficult, right?
Usually plays like
17 under was a playoff last year, but that took, Spieth went, it's a 71, right?
Yeah, I did play under par last year.
So Spieth went 66-66 on Saturday, Sunday to get there. Like it's not a, and I think it was playing a little bit softer last year. The weather's been great, in the East Coast. It should be playing pretty firm. Although I wonder how much rain they got from last Thursday. When anything 10 mile an hour winds or so down there, which in those trees is enough to cause a few issues. So if you get to 13, 14, you feel pretty good about yourself. And I think this usually comes off the back of some of the Texas events where, not Houston, but you know, the match play, and then Valero can sometimes get up into that, which I guess it did this year, but behind some phenomenal golf where it got to 20 under, where third place was 11 under. The Masters played tough this year. I think sometimes it's just a nice kind of continuation of tough golf, but maybe with a few more birdies. But I feel like we've seen a lot of tough golf recently, so I wouldn't, you know, necessarily be opposed to, well, I don't want to see like 22 under on this course, but if it got to 16, I wouldn't mind that really. So it's fun, good track. I think it challenges players in different ways, which is fun. But like you said, nothing really separates it. I was looking at some modeling as well, and there's nothing that's you have to do elite. You just have to play really well. Just solid stuff. So you'd think that if Scheffler's in a good headspace, he probably just wipes the floor with the field again. But who knows? There's not really, like you said, there's not really a way to separate it. If the approach plays maybe a touch off for him, then I think that brings the rest of the field into play. But big week. I mean, there's only, we go through the schedule. What's next week? Zurich?
Zerk, then
And then
Craig
I
Ranch.
believe Ranch.
Yeah.
So major in 2 weeks. The CJ Cup at Craig Ranch. But I actually don't even think Jordan plays that week.
You don't think he's gonna play Craig Ranch?
No, because isn't Wells Fargo the week after?
I disagree with you. I think he plays Craig Ranch.
But not Fargo.
I think he plays Wells Fargo too. He needs to play. This
But then
guy.
he, but that's five in a row if he does that.
Has he seen his recent results?
True. The missed cuts are like playing 1 week.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Except
playing
for
two
dragging the
rounds.
kids around. Yeah, no, I, he
No.
could play five. I just, he doesn't want to, he hasn't played five in a row in a lot.
I know. I don't think he has a choice, though, because A, he's getting behind in the FedEx Cup again. B, I mean,
Yeah.
he's barely played. And C, like, he needs to give himself as many opportunities to turn this around. And, you know, maybe that does start this week, but, like, what is the five again? Let me just take a look while we're
I
looking
believe
here.
it'd be CJ Cup at Ranch, Wells Fargo, PGA, Colonial Memorial.
Yeah.
Which actually, I love that stretch. I love Colonial. I love Memorial. And then obviously the PGA gets added.
Yeah. I'm not gonna apologize. He needs to play all five. He needs to play Wells Fargo because I look. If he goes to play Craig Ranch, which I think he will, I think there's a better chance of Craig Ranch than Wells Fargo and shoots 18 under and says, I'm good, playing, you know, one of the easiest golf courses on tour, then no.
Before the PGA. Yeah. No, I think he should be at Wells Fargo.
Yeah, go play a big boy golf course and so see what you can do.
And then I mean after that, after Memorial, it's the RBC Canadian, right? And then the US Open. And then the Travelers.
No, it's going to be a lot of golf. That's what Rory's going to do. I heard something about Rory
No, yeah,
recently
Rory's
playing a ton of
doing 8 and
golf.
10.
Yeah. So it'd be
Rory's
about
got
the
8 and
same for
10
Spieth.
and Spieth's got, it would be 8 and 10 as well, leading into the Scottish, which is how it should be, I think. You know, that's, I, it's a lot of golf, but at the same time, he thought he was playing a lot of golf last year when he played 9 of 11 leading into this event here and played his best event of the season. So it's kind of like
No, I agree.
funny how that works. You play more, you play better.
Yeah, crazy. I think it's probably going to be another Wells Fargo or Travelers type of year. in saying that, I think
where he takes one of those off.
Yeah, I think he's got to play well so far. He doesn't have it right now. He should be playing as much as possible right now to try and find it. Travelers is so far away. Like, what's the point of, like, it's end of June.
Well, especially if, can't believe I'm blanking on the U.S. Open, Pinehurst. I guess that's kind of in the area. It wouldn't be a cross-country flight.
Yeah.
But,
I think he needs to be looking near future, not June.
Yeah, no, agreed. And Wells Fargo would be guaranteed four rounds, which is kind of what feels like needs to happen. I think that's a signature, right?
Yeah. So is Traveler. So I think it'd be guaranteed four there as well. But, I mean, he should be wanting to turn it around ASAP. And how do you do that? Probably playing more. So, it's not like he's been playing a lot, missing cuts on a regular basis. Unfortunately.
The triple double.
Yeah, just one more thing.
Any other thoughts on?
I did mistakenly say that RBC typically plays over par. That's not true. It typically does play under par slightly. It's basically what he did last year. You shoot 3 to 4 under every day. You're going to be in a pretty good spot come the end of the week.
Right.
It's kind of that type of golf course, which is fun.
I think it's, yeah.
It's a fair challenge. Under,
and, but it doesn't play, like you might shoot 6, but I don't think there's many people that have gone out and shot 9.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's one of those where it's kind of, if you go shoot 4, like you said, 3-4 every day, get yourself to 12, I think you feel pretty good about your week.
I take 12. We're not going to win, probably. That'd be a good week.
I'd take 12. It wouldn't shock me if he was like 5 by the end of the week and it's like T54. It's like, come on, man. This again. But
Hilton Head kind of fits. Yeah. I'd assume it's one of the favorite tour stops of the pros because you hear all the time why they love Valspar because it's not tricked up and it doesn't get to 10 under. Hilton Head's a little bit easier than Valspar, but it's similar. It's not long, doesn't seem, tricked up, but the scores are usually not too low. It kind of reminds me of Valspar in that sense, just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison as well. It's kind of narrow on some of the tee shots as well. That's actually a pretty, just like off the top of my head, seems like a decent course comp. I'm sure the models would say maybe not, but yeah, I think that's all I've got on course and schedule.
Yeah,
we want to hop into our plays this week.
Yeah, I can lead us off if you want, as I'm, leading us in last place by a wide margin.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess we can recap the Masters real quick. None of us really had a good week. I guess Dan had Xander.
I think I made a million.
Yeah, Dan had, I guess, the best week by far. He had, 350, 970 combined, led by Xander. You're right behind Bob. Well, not right behind, but you're within striking distance. About 600, 700K behind.
He gained a good gap with Batia, and I closed over half of that gap.
Yeah, so I guess you did have a nice week. Yeah.
Well, I had a nice week because he had a not good week.
Yeah, that's well said. But you had Xander. 620 is a nice payday.
Yeah.
So you had Xander. Bob had Hideki, Rahm, and Batia. Didn't really do a whole lot. Any wasted Rahm. So that's a nice bonus for the both of us. I had Hideki, Finau, and Siwoo. That didn't provide a whole lot. I had like $10,000 more than Bob, which ain't doing a whole lot. But it is an elevated event this week, so a lot of dollars on the line for me to catch up or for Dan to catch Bob for first. I have my three names. I will lead us off. I'm going Ludvig Åberg, played great at the Masters. Again, picking for this week, I could have picked a ton of guys. The guy that was top of my list to pick was Xander. They've already used him once, so I kind of want to, hold on to him a little bit longer. The three guys I picked this week are all guys I haven't used once. If you're new to the podcast, we can use any PGA Tour pro twice throughout the season, any LIV guy once, because you only get really the majors to pick them. So I picked Ludvig first, played great last week, like that. I also picked Wyndham Clark. Yeah, a lot of people don't like Wyndham this week. I again, this damn course doesn't really single anyone out. So like, all the top dog. It's also a signature event, so it's tough to get into. So I picked Wyndham. Course history here isn't great, but again, a lot of that course history when he wasn't as good of a player. And he pops in the big events. He didn't play great at Augusta last week, but it was his first time around there, and first timers, besides Mr. Obert and Mr. Spieth, don't typically fare well there anyway. Wyndham's one at API signature event, second at API signature event, T2 at the Players. So he comes alive for the big events. And it wouldn't shock me to see him bounce back this week. And then last, I'm going with Cam Young. A lot of people like Cam this week, and why not? He's consistent. Probably won't win, but I need cash in any way, shape, or form. He had a second at the Valspar, T9 at the Masters last week. Ball striking the ever living crap out of it. And again, I wanted to pick three dudes that I haven't picked yet. So I went with those three dudes, and hopefully I can start to mount a charge to catch Dan and Mr. Bob, because I am at 7.3 million. I am 2.7 million behind Dan right now, so I'm struggling. But again, if I pick a winner on a signature event, I pass Dan. So these signature events obviously provide a spark for a possible comeback.
They do. Speaking of comebacks, I had this locked in Friday afternoon, and I might change it actually, which is so sad. But it was more out of solidarity, more of a sign of respect and commitment to the camp. Not that I think I need to show that, because I've done 119 episodes of a freaking podcast about him, but I think I'm playing Jay Speed this week. And
Really trying to let me come back.
yeah, I guess so. But he can't make $0 this week, so I think it's a good time to use him. I guess I just don't really know where else I'd use him.
That's kind of where we're at right
Not
now.
at the other two majors, probably not W Fargo,
Ranch.
maybe Colonial. I'm not playing at my ranch. He's not ready to win a major yet. And or at least a major, at a major championship track.
Very fair.
Maybe Colonial, maybe Memorial, I suppose, but it we'll see. I may flip him out for Shane Lowry, who actually flushed it last week and just putted horribly, so that might be a better play.
It'd be your second Shane use, just looking at the chart right
My second Shane Lowry use.
now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I don't really know where else I'd use him, so
You used Lowry at Players.
Oh.
Interesting. Intriguing.
He has been flushing it, I think. He just isn't producing. Anyway, Shane Lowry, I think, is a little, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll flip Shane Lowry in for Russell Henley instead.
Wow, he
But
putted bad last week.
I've got Russ Henley in there at one of my spots. He's been playing well, man. He's like, really high up there in the data golf rankings. And I don't think his course history is great, but it certainly isn't bad. And then Cantlay, it's almost too obvious to me that Cantlay's winning this week. Flushed it. He hit it pretty well at the Masters. He hasn't been playing very well this season, but he took off a lot of time before Augusta. I think it was 3 weeks. He didn't play in the 3 weeks leading up, and
He's barely played. I was looking at
he
him.
hasn't
He
played a
doesn't play
whole
golf.
lot. And so, to see him hit it pretty well, I think, is encouraging. And not putting well is fine, but a lot of guys who putt well, at the Masters get tricked up a little bit putting Hilton Head, just because there's so much less break. The greens aren't rolling close to the same speeds. And so I think that it's a good spot to use guys that didn't putt well last week, to kind of flip that. And I don't think Lowry's actually putted very well here in general, but we'll see. He's hitting it well, and that's kind of what you need around here. So I'll have to decide out of the Henley Spieth Lowry trio which two of the three I want. There seems like an obvious answer of who to drop, but it's more about the solidarity. And like I said, Spieth like literally hasn't lost anybody here in regulation since 2021. So
he's lost to a lot of guys in regulation last month or so.
So he's due, is what you're telling me.
You with four straight weeks of losing strokes around the green, 3 of 4 approach. He's due to not. Well, he can't miss the cut. I mean,
he's due to top 30.
That'd be a step in the right direction,
I suppose. I mean, he rolled out in the top 10 not literally 2 weeks ago. Like, yeah. I don't understand this man.
I don't know. But I was looking at Lowry. Man, he did stripe it. If he putts average at Augusta, it's a T6.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I think I got to play Lowry now.
I'm not trying to convince you, but he finished T43. If he puts average, it's a T6. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, he did also hole out on 14, but even then, that's maybe a little over, you know, probably a stroke and a half.
Yeah. He was dead last among guys who made the cut putting and second in approach play.
Yeah. Like, I think he's hitting it well. And
he was first in approach play among players who made the cut and second worst or last putting to make the cut, first approach to make the cut. That's crazy. Yeah.
And like they say, that's got to flip at some point. And there's no two different greens than Augusta and Hilton Head, I feel like.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think you got to play him. He's putted well at Hilton Head in the past, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, Lowry and Cantlay will be in a playoff is what I'm predicting. Spieth solo third.
How does Spieth not make the playoff? Can you?
It's more he just shoots a 61 on Sunday.
Okay.
But then misses like a 4-footer on the third or something like that.
Alrighty.
I don't know. Well, I haven't thought that far ahead in my dreams. So
understood. I'm sure when we're recapping Sunday night after the win or Monday, we'll get a updated dream from Dan.
Right. Sunday night after the win.
That'd be cool.
I'm just trying to hope not to say that, but it's been said now. And maybe it'll work out.
What do we have to lose? I mean, we're playing with house money.
Exactly. Exactly. Either T57 or a W. Or not. It could be very easily be something else, but so until whenever next time is, should be a fun week, should be featured both days.
Early late.
Yeah, early late, 10:30, 1:30. Pretty good slot. So we'll see you guys soon.
Take care.
Peace.